Living life as an artist is a practice. You are either engaging in the practice or you are not. It makes no sense to say you're not good at it. It's like saying, I'm not good at being a monk. You are either living as a monk or you're not. We tend to think of the artist's work as the output. The real work of the artist is a way of being in the world. Welcome back to Life Vocabulary. I'm so happy you're still tuned in to my live reading and reflection of Rick Rubin's book, and The Creative Act. We are on Area of Thought 9. Thank you again for tuning in and welcome if you are absolutely new. I am Serena Hussein and I love to reflect and commentate on creative matters. Let's get into Area of Thought 9. Submerge the great works. Broadening our practice of awareness is a choice we can make at any moment. It is not a search, though it is stoked by a curiosity or hunger. A hunger to see beautiful things, hear beautiful sounds, feel deeper sensations. To learn and to be fascinated and surprised on a continual basis. In service of this robust instinct, consider submerging yourself in the canon of great works. Read the finest literature, watch the masterpieces of cinema, get up close to the most influential paintings, visit architectural landmarks. There's no standard list. No one has the same measures of greatness. The canon is continually changing across time and space. Nonetheless, exposure to great art provides an invitation. It draws us forward and opens doors of possibility. If you make the choice of reading classic literature every day for a year, rather than reading the news, by the end of that time period, you have a more honed sensitivity for recognizing greatness from the books than from the media. This applies to every choice we make, not just with art, but with friends. The friends we choose, the conversations we have, even the thoughts we reflect on. All of these aspects affect our ability to distinguish good from very good. Very good from great. They help us determine what's worthy of our time and attention. Because there's an endless amount of data available to us, and we have a limited bandwidth to conserve, we might consider carefully curating the quality of what we allow in. This doesn't just apply if your goal is to make art of lasting significance. Even if your goal is to make fast food, it will likely taste better if you experience the best fresh food available to you during the process. Level up your taste. The objective is not to learn to mimic greatness, but to calibrate our internal meter for greatness, so we can better make the thousands of choices that might ultimately lead to our own great work. Splendid. Okay, so again, I'm reading this at the same time you're listening to it, as in for the first time. This reminds me of The Artist State, the advice from Julia Cameron from the book The Artist State, which I bought when it first came out. It was given to me as a gift, actually. I didn't buy it. And a great artist friend of mine from back in the day, gosh, in the noughties, gave it to me. And I then, after loving it, I bought so many copies and I passed them on whenever there was a chance. And in that book, Julia Cameron talks about making sure you have an artist state. And this artist state is where you're taking yourself out and you're going to explore, do something completely different. And that's what this is really about. It's about refreshing your senses as a creative, as an artist. And I like the passage right at the start that I started with, this idea of you can only be an artist when somebody has said that you have done great work. You can't live like an artist, unless the output has been acknowledged, unless it's received some kind of acclaim. And we've got it the wrong way around. Our art, our expression of creativity is dependent upon the results and dependent upon someone else acknowledging it. And if you think about your whole life, then you can use it as an example. Why is it that we only feel complete or we feel seen and heard when someone else sees us? Naturally, we are humans and we're wired this way. When it comes to art, though, it's very different. Creativity is such a different process and experience, which is why if you enjoy being solitary and have that solitude, it can really help. It's something that I learned over the last decade, where I had to spend a great deal of time alone, even though I have a child still. Parenting alone, living alone, spending a lot of time alone, she said it three times, it feels completely different to when you are living with others or when you are constantly in the company of others. And once you get past the boredom, once you get past the anxiety, whatever it is that you might experience, if you're just sort of have discomfort with solitude, you'll find that this sort of other window, this other sort of like dimension opens. And so this is a dimension I rely on now in order for me to create. I need to access that stillness, that dimension, which I've spoken about in earlier episodes, in order for us to kind of tap into source and tap into our creativity. And another way to tap into our creativity is to expose ourselves to wonderful pieces of art, which is also why I'm keeping this as my sort of like, every now and then, actually only when I record, that I'm going to sort of get into. It's like a treat. It's like I'm giving myself a pit stop in between sort of all the momentum and madness, a moment to reflect and really sort of zoom out and think about things and my creativity in a less productive way, in a less doing way, but in kind of a being way, which is why this book is called A Way of Being. Thank you so much for tuning in again. More live readings and reflections are on the way, as well as episodes every Monday and Thursday. And I have some news. I also have a very unique offering for creators. It's called the Creators Newsletter, and it will be available every week. More information is in the description.